Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله That is praise be to Allah the Lord of all systems of knowledge, and said the Shahadatain, that is the two witnesses that we bear witness that there's only one God, and we bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. That's what I said in the Arabiyah. So, assalamu alaikum, God's peace be on you. This is your brother Khalid, and you're on station IWDM, A Conversation with a Purpose. And I believe if it's a blog talk, if you listen to a blog talk radio program on Wednesday night, you listen to the best program on the in the world with a conversation with a purpose. And I'm not bragging. I'm, you know, kind of biased, I would say. But alhamdulillah. With me are my brothers, Haleem and Aktab. Assalamu alaikum, my brothers. How you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam, Khali. Very well. Thank Allah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my brothers. Very well.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, it is. Our praise be to Allah. We thank Allah that we're here. We thank Allah that we have a listening audience. We thank Allah we have a radio station to say a couple things to enlighten and have us grow from the darkness to the light, to recognize God as the one, and to recognize that we have a duty in the world to be responsible as human beings in this particular creation, you know, and being responsible for everything, you know, the family life, the business life, community life, being good neighbors to each other. You know, there's a lot of wars and fighting, and it's just terrible that the last few weeks of news of people getting upset over a stupid movie, you know,
exactly.
And killing people and street, you know, and the fact is, they can't, whatever they say about Prophet Muhammad, they can never hurt anything he's done. It's his reputation, his honor. They could talk about him, but they just can't do it. It's impossible. And I don't understand why the people call themselves Muslims get out, you know, they lose their minds, so to speak. Yeah, there was a guy in Pakistan. He's an important figure in government. He said he'd pay $100,000. To anybody who killed the maker of that particular movie. And I say, what kind of savage is that? What kind of savage mind, that mentality to do such a thing, you know?
Exactly.
But,
well,
I got to call it. I want to check this out, see what it is. Area code 301. I want to see who's on. Area code 301. You're going to be on a conversation with a purpose in a few seconds. Let me get your mic. And your microphone should be open right now. Area code 301?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Rauf Abdullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
You trying to give me a heart attack, my brother? Where goes slide? How you doing, man?
Alhamdulillah, Rauf. I thought you recognized my business line.
I did not. I did not know the business line, so I'm glad to see. I thought it might be you, and I took a chance. That's great, man. So, welcome back from your vacation.
And I want to greet my brothers Haleem and Akhtar. I pray that Allah has been keeping you all healthy and sound.
Yes, indeed.
Yes,
listen to your voice. Matter of fact,
yes,
on a CD.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah.
But you was asking the imam, how do we address you, brother imam? Because, you know, I mean, it's so difficult. I mean, what do we, you like come here like Jesus? I mean, how do we see you as you are? How do we explain to you to people? He said, I have that problem sometimes also. It was a beautiful CD, and I heard you on that CD, Rauf.
That was that's on the How to Be More Effective Imams in your Cities and Towns.
Exactly. I was listening to it last week, you know. I said, well, here go my brother, you know.
Yeah, that was at a Fedra meeting, and the imam, he laughed when I asked him that question.
Yeah, said, but it was a good question, you know. It was an excellent question.
He said, tell them that God has blessed them with a son.
Exactly. That's what he said. Alhamdulillah. That's right.
You win a S-O-N, but I think he meant both.
Exactly. You know, a prodigal son and an S-U-N also.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. That was a wonderful, see him happy, and you know, he was in his element. And,
exactly.
You know, he just such a blessing on us and the whole world.
No doubt. He came as a mercy, as when Allah sends somebody to a town that's falling apart and someone comes there to fix it up, that's a mercy. Well, the same thing when the human being needs to be resurrected and reconstructed, a man will come up, not a prophet, but a great thinker and a reviver to build up the human being again, you know.
And with the help of God, Quran, the mighty Quran says that Jesus was, upon whom be peace, was given permission by Allah the Most High to blow on clay birds,
yeah,
and they will come to life.
Exactly,
well,
by Allah's leave.
By Allah's permission. And
yeah.
And here you have Imam W. Muhammad coming, and he was able to blow on a whole community, a whole society, and the whole society came to life.
Now, I'm just saying, what you're saying is so deep, because I'm thinking about how we think now. We were not thinking like this prior to 1975.
No, sir. Nor was the majority of the uninitiated world. This information was relegated to a few select ones who were allowed to see the understanding of scriptural reference, scriptural language, what the imam did, because he was able to understand it, and God, I mean, gave it to him without having to join some secret society. He then freely, over a course of time, educated us. He couldn't give it to us right away, but over the course of 33 years, he gradually helped us get our eyes open. Because, you know, they had that movie, The Matrix. When Neo was finally got onto the Nebuchadnezzar, he said, my eyes hurt. And Morpheus said, because you've never used them before.
There you go.
And so our eyes were shut. We weren't perceiving religion. We weren't perceiving a history. We weren't perceiving culture. We weren't perceiving social evolution. We weren't perceiving any of these things correctly. We were physicalized.
Mm-hmm.
During that same lecture, the imam said that you have to go from material logic to Islamic logic, and between the two is an abyss.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can get across the abyss, you have to walk across a plank.
Mm.
He never said what the plank was, but the plank was his path here.
Yeah.
And the abyss is the Islam that people who don't understand his language, who are trying to practice. They're in an abyss of just having clothing and slogans and rituals, but having no insight, no understanding, no application, no connection. They can't put the pieces together. And as a result, the people who claim to have the Quran are some of the most backwards people in the entire world. They are racist sometimes. They are sexist. They're against science. They can't, you know, the only way they can tell a new moon is if somebody hit them over the head with it.
That's why Imam Muhammad said so beautifully in a coupe I heard him say one time. He said, that's why he said they got the symbol of the woman wearing high heel shoes, because the bottom of your foot called the sole of your feet. But when you wear high heel shoes, your soul, it never hits the ground. It never hits that material world. So Shaitan puts everybody in high heel shoes, so the soul and the material world never come together as one.
Oh, yes, sir. And we're jacked up, and we're out of touch. Our soul, in fact, you got part of the toes are on the earth, but the heel, which is symbolic of the subconscious, that has been taken and robbed of its connection to
conscious reality.
And that's how and religious leadership is no better, having no understanding of the connection between the scientific world, of this earthly, the material reality, and Allah's signs that are reflection, because the scientific world reflects the spiritual reality. But if you're not understanding of this, you cannot make progress. You can only stay and stand still, and the world is developing around you, and that's what has happened. The Prophet, the praise and peace be upon him, he had the people connected, and they made progress. But over time,
great progress,
they lost the connection. And now the people who are most backwards are the people who read the Quran the most.
That's right. That's accurate, brother. Because they read it without understanding. And what is that, you know, and even back in the old days in Bible teaching, it says, with all thy getting, get ye an understanding.
Amen.
So when you come into understanding, you have derived that truth.
Yes, without understanding, you have no benefit. It's a tree that doesn't bear any fruit.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, that's why a lot of the stuff that we see today that's happening, that's unfolding in different parts of the Muslim world, is unfolding like they're unfolding.
That's right, Haleem.
Judgment Day, baby. Judgment Day. The people are saying, why have you hit me these three times? They call it the Arab Spring. They want to know why is it that the Muslims have no democracy, have these corrupt monarchies. You go to Las Vegas and you go to the Riviera, and here's their leaders sitting up naked on a nude beach, talking about they're the holders of the Quran, they're the guardians of the faith.
Going to sleep. Well, Rasulullah, peace and blessings be upon him, predicted it. He said, unfortunately, one day my people, and he went to my Muslims in general, he's talking about those from his descendants in that peninsula, around the Arabian Peninsula. He said, one day my people will go to sleep. And what will cause my people to go to sleep is their inordinate love for wealth.
Yes. Allahu Akbar.
Ain't nothing wrong with getting the money now. But you don't let it absorb you to the point that you lose your spiritual space and your relationship with your Lord. Because that's more important, because Allah says, why sell yourself out of the hereafter for the price and the life of this world? That's a miserable price.
I mean.
And you know, sometimes you're blessed. You know, we look at the oil and the different things that are happening in the East and the riches and stuff, and it's a blessing. But if you don't do what's right with the blessing becomes like a curse, like a noose around your neck.
And, exactly,
and,
that's
and
right.
It can take you. Yeah, it can take you out of here.
That's right.
Because you think, because you lose track on reality, and you don't deal with the book that you hold so dearly. You don't really follow what the book says. You don't have the proper understanding because greed and the love of power and the love of money set in.
Exactly.
And it takes control of you if you're not careful.
And Allah says in the Quran, he warns us, and he said, the life of this world is a deception. He said, you know, it's not the reality. He said, you know, this is what you're passing through is very deceiving. He said, don't get caught up in the pomp and glitter thereof. He wants you, he said, yeah, seek a home in the hereafter with all that I put available to you and get your fair share, but don't think that this is it. Because once we die, man, you know, we're going to be full of, there are going to be those full of regrets, and they're going to be begging Allah, oh, Allah, send me back. Please send me back. But it's too late.
Oh, yes. Ameen.
Ameen.
You know, people come and go. They die from Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Like I always say, you never see a U-Haul truck in a federal possession.
Yeah, talk about it, brother.
Yeah. Did anybody get a chance to see the advertisement for this particular program, for tonight's program? Yes, no?
No, I have not.
Okay.
No.
Well,
no.
The title of tonight's program.
We were going to this situation with this film, because back to what you were saying with that, that upsets me to no end, because Allah says in the Quran, subhanahu wa ta'ala, most glorified and highly praises Allah, he says in the Quran that mocked were many of the prophets who came. Every prophet of Allah, from Adam to Muhammad, was mocked and ridiculed. And got violent, they just dealt with it. And they kept preaching the truth. And eventually, those mockers, as Allah says in the Quran, were hemmed in by the thing that they mocked. Because if you got the truth, you don't worry about what people say. They can, like, literally, they can do whatever. They can say whatever they want to say. The reality is the reality. This al-Islam that is given through Prophet Muhammad that we have in our community and the Imam Walati Muhammad students, this is the best. We don't get moved by emotionalism. You don't get fired up with emotions. You know, we're too rational for that.
That's right, and you should never let anybody take you out of that rational mind and put you in an emotional mind, or a mind where you want to go and kill people over nothing, really. Over nothing.
Exactly. Just ignore it.
People,
no,
we'd
be crazy if we went after everybody.
About everybody. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Ku Klux Klan, they had
like
you didn't kill nobody over that. What are you going to do? People are going to say things. And Allah said that in the Quran, it's certain you'll hear much that will disturb you from the people of the book and from those who worship idol gods and many gods. But if you hold firm and remain steadfast, that's the final determining factor in all affairs. As long as you steadfast and you persevere, that's all that matters. Don't even worry about what they say. Don't worry what they do. Don't worry about it. Because Prophet Muhammad went through worse.
If they want to debate on the what the contribution of Prophet Muhammad gave, let them throw their rod and then we'll throw our rod. We're gonna win that one.
That's right.
I want a debate on whether Prophet Muhammad was a child molester, whether he was a fraud or a charlatan. Let's have that debate. I don't run from that fight.
Exactly.
I run to that fight. If you want to have it, let's deal with it. Let's compare his accomplishments with any other soul that has walked this earth, and then in the end, the community of the prophet is going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are emotional and you can't accept a criticism against the prophet, then you are diminishing him.
Exactly.
Right.
That's right, because he would never tear up people's property and get crazy killing innocent people. No way, that was never his way. There was a woman one time, I recall a hadith, whereby every time he walked by her house, she would throw garbage on the prophet. So one day the prophet walked by, he took his daily route, and the woman wasn't there to throw garbage on him. She used to go up on her roof and take her trash and throw it on the prophet to try and make him angry, but he would never get angry. So he knocked on the door, and naturally, she was kind of fearful at first because he figured he's going to come in and give her a beat down, right? That's the messenger of Allah. He would never do that. His humbleness, the way he even mentioned who he was, made her open the door. And when she opened the door, the first thing the prophet said, "Are you okay? Because you haven't been out for a while." Meaning that, you didn't throw nothing on me. Are you okay? She said, "No, I've been, really sick." And the first thing he asked her, "What can I do to help you?" She said, "Would you please get me some water?" He went out and fetched her some water. After that, he immediately prayed for that woman to get well to Allah. The next week, the woman took Shahada. So kindness is always the key, man, to win people over. You don't win people over by getting stupid and crazy. That's not the sunnah.
You're right.
But
the prophet is mercy. I mean, when they came back from being victorious from Medina, and came back into Mecca to take the pagan idols out, Prophet Muhammad didn't burn down any churches. He didn't even so much as break a cross. They walked by, I mean, some serious enemies of Al-Islam. They walked by him who cut out Hamza's liver in the Battle of Uhud and chewed it. They walked by some serious enemies. And Umar, he asked the Prophet, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, may I please hit this one on the neck?" And Prophet Muhammad said, "No, no, Umar. That's it. There's no more bloodletting. That's it. No. The war is over now." He didn't even spill a drop of blood. Now, there are some people, if you kill one of theirs, they'll destroy a whole town because they don't have that kind of mercy and love and kindness in their heart for humanity. Prophet Muhammad went in there. All he did was take the idols out. Then he had Bilal to get on top of the Kaaba with his black feet and call the Adhan so the believers could make their first prayer at the Kaaba. What a history.
And
he was never brutal and vicious.
Where in history does somebody do something to you and you go take it out on somebody else?
Exactly.
I mean, that just defies all logic.
Exactly.
I mean, you know what I mean? Come on now. Are you going to go take it out on somebody else?
That's right. And it has happened here, too. We can't... that's like when I think it was the Oklahoma City bombing. First thing they did, they started attacking Muslim stores and all that without the facts even coming out. Come to find out, Timothy McVeigh did it.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But, you know, they're going to be ignorance. There's going to be emotionalism. But we, as a community, we should never encourage that in ourselves. Because if we should never be happy for that. We should never be putting out. We made Salman Rushdie famous.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Just keep quiet and shut up.
I mean, here's a man who struggled as a writer, who had nothing, but in order to become famous, he writes something denigrating Prophet Muhammad. And immediately we make them famous and rich.
That's right. Exactly. And if we had stayed calm, he would have went out into the sunset.
So I don't know. I question the logic of all that.
I'm gonna be Imam Muhammad.
There's no logic. There's no logic. It's to me, it's downright retarded. You know,
exactly.
It's retarded to give it any credibility. Even to talk about it, to think about it, to put that on people's brains.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, man, they probably think I'm crazy because I have not seen the video and I don't plan to.
Me neither.
No need to. For what? For what? If it's derogatory, what's the purpose in seeing it?
Yeah.
It's nothing complimentary, so it's nothing to see. All that was, and this is from my heart, I don't know. Allah knows best. All I know is I find it kind of strange at this particular time they would put something out there. Like, you know, like they want to flame the fires, you know, so the president have another burden on them. Why would that be done right around now? Timing, you got to always wonder about timing.
Oh, yeah.
That's the factor, what you're talking about, because before it even came out, Romney jumped all over it. You know,
exactly. Like he was ready for it.
He made a comment right away about it.
Right away. He weighed in on it before it was even any weight to weigh on. He weighed in on it.
Oh, yes.
But you know, I really said when this thing with Barack first started with this election, and I was looking at it, and when they were pumping all that money into Romney after he got nominated, and I said to myself, you know, it's going to really take some what I call divine intervention for him to win through with all of this money that they're pouring into this race. And it seems like Allah has been coming to his aid. Because
no
matter
doubt.
What it is they throw at him,
he and Alice.
It's somewhere around it, even with the economy. You know, the economy is starting to turn around. You know?
Mm-hmm. Ain't that something? Yo, you're right, Halim. Yeah. House prices are going up.
Everything is changing right now. What is it? The gross national product is changing. Everything is changing.
Right. stock market
everything
doing good.
Everything is changing, and it's going in his favor.
Exactly.
As far as the job creation, and the businesses, and the housing, and everything else.
He brought Ohio back. Ohio was way on the bottom. Now Ohio's number four in terms of, you know, job production.
And Romney
just by saving the auto industry.
One dumb thing, one crazy thing after another has been said.
That's right.
One crazy thing after another.
Telling anybody that he's a communist and, you know, I heard one nut, I couldn't believe it, that he's down with the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood and they have a secret agenda to take over the government. And, you know, people out here, they're ignorant, because I remember when McCain was running, and they always show this every now and then, this Caucasian woman stood up and she said, I can't vote for Obama because he's an Arab. And I'm saying, where did she get that from? How did they get that he's an Arab? They just show you the ignorance out here, and these demagogues and fearmongers are playing upon the ignorance of the people, because we got some, I mean, there's some serious ignorant people in the world today. People are extremely ignorant. It's sad.
Yes, they are.
And they're trying to play on that ignorance, you know, by pumping out, you know, no, you can't, he's not one of us. You know, he don't understand America. He's not one of us. What does that mean? Like, it's like a code language. He's not one of us. He's a human being. He's a God-fearing, decent human being. So what do you mean? Well, maybe that's what they mean, he's not one of us, because maybe they're devils. Maybe they're right.
Well, it's, I mean, people are really easily led by their fears and of the unknown. When you look at Obama is more us than anyone else, because he is half Caucasian, half African.
Mm-hmm.
And that typifies America.
That's right.
America.
You know, Raouf, none of us are 100% African. Not one of us.
Yeah, but I think Obama's father was 100% African.
Exactly.
And
I'm talking about us as a people.
Yeah. Right, but I'm saying, so Obama isn't really African-American. He is African and Caucasian. And that
exactly.
Makes 100% American.
Mm-hmm.
Because the heart of this country, the heart of this nation,
mm-hmm.
is spirit. The spirit of this country is African and European. And
mm-hmm.
That's why they can't defeat this country, because it has taken the best of both of these divergent spirits and melded it, and the American psyche dominates the entire world. You go to Europe,
exactly.
Where you go, people think and want to be like Americans. So.
Uh-huh.
Obama represents the America of today. It is a society that cannot be, you cannot take the black out of America, can't take the white out of America. It has become inextricably connected. And so they can't understand why they love Obama. And believe me, people love Barack Obama.
That's right.
If you look at his foreign policy, if I was Mitt Romney, I would call in a bomb. I would call in a fire alarm or a bomb scare the day the debate comes for me to debate foreign policy with Barack Obama, because it don't make no sense to show up for that.
I know that would be like Albert Einstein.
All the coaching and rehearsing they want to give him, but. He got a real problem.
No, really, it'd be like Albert Einstein having a debate with Fred Flintstone.
That's what I'm talking about.
That would be so pathetic, man.
And really, he
everywhere he went, he sold to people everywhere he went.
What could he debate Barack Obama on? And really, on anything?
On
maybe
on,
that's on nothing. He couldn't debate him on anything. Nothing.
He could debate him on the best places to get French fries in the Riviera.
Yeah.
Well, he can debate him on the best way to hide your money and not pay real taxes on it.
Another thing too, or exotic vacation places. But I can't see much more than that. It just goes to show Allah's judgment that, you know.
Well, he can also debate him on
who
can put their foot in their mouth the best, because he sure do a good job of that.
Excellent. Exactly. Like they caught him with that 47% thing. That was really a big blunder. He didn't mean that to come out, but I think it was
divine intervention. Divine intervention.
Of Carter, a grandson of Carter, recorded it. See, with this day and time, with electronic devices that can record, you have to be very, very careful what comes out of your mouth if you got a problem saying the right thing. See, you notice about President Obama, he's like our Imam W.D. Muhammad. He listens to your question, he'll think about it, and then he speaks, and he speaks rather slowly, like the Imam, because he wants to give you the best answer. But this fool, he's always quick as a draw. You know, he talks fast, and he always says the wrong thing. The man is full of myth.
He can't help him.
The president says shoot first and aim later.
Exactly. That's what it is, Helene. You know, and every time he does that, he puts his foot in his mouth. Now you got to backtrack on what he said. And it's happened, and everybody knows that about him. That's why they call him the flip-flop man.
That encompasses a lot of people. That takes a lot of
Republicans and Democrats
consideration.
Sure. Exactly. But like I said, he doesn't think. He just says things. You don't need a president that doesn't choose his words and speak wisely. A president got to be very, very wise. Any leader needs to have wisdom. Not enough to have knowledge. You got to have wisdom in your leader.
That's why it's important. It's very important for everybody that's within the sound of our voices to make sure that whatever city, town, state you're in, that you're registered to vote. You know,
that's
you
right.
Really have to check and make sure, because you don't want to go get ID and then go to the polls and find out that your name is not in the book. You want
exactly.
to make sure that your voter registration office, that you are registered to vote.
That's right. Thank you, Helene. That's right. Especially us as a people, because we literally had to die for the right to vote. There's no people on the planet that put up and had to sacrifice as much as we did just for the right to vote. Nobody on the planet. I don't care where you go. They had to go through what we went through just for to gain the right to vote. So on behalf of our great ancestors, we got to vote.
Yes, we do, because they're going to try to steal this election.
They're planning on it, brother. That's why they got this damn ID thing with like six long lawyer type pages. Like, you have to have a law degree to figure out what they're asking you even. You know, before you could even get the daggone registration or to get the card so you can vote. I mean, it's crazy what they're doing. They're throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, to try and block this. They know they're losing in the polls by crazy. Every day it gets further and further distances apart between President Obama and Mitt. So they know all they can do now, they got to cheat.
And so the people got to wake up and vote, because I'm telling you, they're sitting back talking about they're not worried about no polls because they pulled it with Bush in Florida, and now they're
That's
not
right.
only trying to pull it in Florida, but they're trying to pull it in about 15 other states.
Exactly.
To make sure that they're able to pull off the trick that they pulled off the last time with Bush.
Well,
don't fall for the okey-doke.
That's right, because they do that, you know, until he's ahead. And what some people will do, believers, if they see that their person that they was going to vote for is ahead, they say, well, I ain't got to go out and vote. He's way ahead. No, still go out and vote. I don't care if they say the polls say it's like 75% for President Obama and 25% for Mitt. Still go out and vote, because sometimes they use that as a trick to keep people home.
Oh yeah, but you know something. What I think is the people who really think highly of Mitt Romney, they should really, if they want to help him, they should vote for President Obama, because
yes,
Mitt Romney is not fit to be the president,
and he's not. He's not qualified.
Right, and so I mean, the worst thing you could do is put somebody behind the wheel who doesn't know how to drive.
Exactly.
You're right.
That's right.
Let me
put him with a co-pilot that can't drive neither. You really in bad shape.
Yeah. All you gonna do is bust the tires.
Yes, you are. I'm gonna bring in area code 317. Hold on. Area code 317. You there?
Yes, I am. Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Ron Foster Sharif calling from Indianapolis.
Brother Ron, how you doing? Walaikum Assalam.
Just fine, brother.
You have a question for our brothers or comment?
Well,
concern?
Yeah, I had not so much a question, but an observation. You know, as a photojournalist, I got an assignment from a publication out of London, England, to cover Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan as they move through the Midwest area, including the upcoming vice presidential debates down in Kentucky. And as I've been covering both of these individuals, I have really, really seen some really, really sick stuff going on. And yesterday I was at the Dayton International Airport where Mitt Romney was, and I was covering him there. And I saw something that just revealed the deep level of sickness that's really going on with these people that are supporting him. I saw a guy in the parking lot. Are you ready for this? He was selling and was doing brisk sales of toilet paper. He called Obama toilet paper with the picture of President Obama on every single sheet. Mm-hmm. I'm like, now that is just absolutely just
peaceful and insulting. No. Can you be? And to give somebody something, they're going to wipe their behind with a man's picture on it.
I could not believe that. And
what
he was selling
that's
it.
That's wild, Lockie. I'm glad you brought that on.
He was selling it close to the venue, so it wasn't like he was some type of outlier or some kind of renegade vendor. He had full compliance with whoever was putting on the event. I could not believe that.
Wow.
That's all I wanted to say. Thank you. That's what I'm like.
We should publicize him because people should know.
But you know what? It's even worse. They got the man. Well, I think it was one state that said they got to take down these derogatory pictures of the president. I think it was Michigan where they had pictures up of the president dressed up as a witch doctor. Then they had him dressed up like the Geico caveman, talking about his policies are out of touch. You know, all kind of, one picture had him with the Hitler mustache. These people have lost what little bit of mind they had left because they are so desperate and they are so full of hate, some of them. Because, see, like I said before, you go to IHOP. IHOP stands for International House of Pancakes. So if it's a house of pancakes, you expect to find pancakes. You go to a chicken and waffle house. Naturally, you go in there, you find chicken and waffles. They're under this illusion that because they call it the White House, that all you're going to find in there are whites. Maybe we need to change it from the White House and just call it the Presidential House. Because that doesn't mean because it's the White House, it's supposed to be whites only.
All right, let me go back and share with everybody this advertisement I have for this particular program. And I think we're hitting on it. The title of the program I had was The Challenges We Face in Advancing Our Community Life. And the ayat I had referred to was from the Quran, chapter 33, ayat number 70, which states that this is a Yusuf Ali translation. O you who believe, fear Allah, and always say a word directed to the right. So I feel, you know, even though you guys didn't know it, I feel it fits in that particular pattern of saying a word directed to the right and always do it bring up the truth of the matter, and we strive to advance our community. And we do have challenges. The great big challenge of electing the national leader, his particular, I would say, mountains to climb, you know, to get out the vote, the opposition, who rich in money, the dirty tricks and all of that, you know, exposed too. And I'm not really good at politics, and I'm always, not always, but a lot of times I'd be wrong about who win an election like this. But I'm saying, from what I'm seeing, if I'm reading the signs right, I see that Romney, he's toast. You know, the campaign is in disarray. He is forced to give up a couple more years of tax records. You know, and he made a lot of mistakes. That 47% statement that he made, was at a $50,000 plate dinner. You know, fundraiser, and how fortuitous that the grandson of Jimmy Carter exposed that, got in their conference, and there was a magazine that exposed this 47% statement. And how has he backtracked from it? You know, did he backtrack or did he track from it? And I said something ridiculous the other day. How Herman Cain was saying that he was still in the campaign, he was reading the polls. You know, he really was. How all these ways people paint a picture and paint it incorrectly, you know, to fool us. But we as a community of Muslims under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad, how it is our time to really come together to put a stamp and influence of true faith in God and how to live a true model community life. Free of corruption, free of lies, you know, having a clear direction and all that, you know, political life again, the family life, the business life. Family life, you know, we got a lot to do. And coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, I want to share with you that is Imam Muhammad Siddiq, the father of Qadis Siddiq. He should join us a little bit later, so we can stay tuned for that. But I'm listening to you, brothers, and I think it's very wonderful what you're saying. And again, it's even though you didn't know it, you're hitting on all the cylinders in terms of what this program should be all about, you know.
You know, and you know, Khaled, we're not against the Republicans. We're not against the Democrats. We're not against the independents. We're against people who are denying us the right to think for ourselves, the right to have the same opportunities as everyone else, and the people who want to see the majority of the people to be polarized into hating one another in order so that they can be better exploited by corrupt leaders. And so what we're trying to advocate is that the Quran came down and was given to the Prophet, the present peace be upon him, in order to free human beings from the kind of manipulation that had been going on prior to the coming of the Quran. And America is a step in the right direction to establish Islamic community life and Quranic life. And our responsibility here as Americans is to make sure the message of the Quran is properly perceived. So,
yes.
I mean, that's what we're trying to do here. We're not against the Republicans. I mean, Imam Muhammad at one time was a Republican.
That's right.
Because he believed in their principles of economic freedom. But what we are against is people who would be so evil that they would do anything
to twist it, man.
to deny the excellence of the leadership of Barack Hussein Obama.
And that's another thing you just said. You said Barack Hussein Obama. You know, they make mockery of the man's name, and that makes me really hot because he has a name that every single African-American should have. If we wasn't subjected to the worst form of oppression and slavery, we would have still have had those names. So they should mock his name because we shouldn't be walking around with names like Clyde the Little Hopper.
Well, you know,
you're right, because, you know, you try to find the best way to lead. America professes to be the leader or tries to be the leader for the world. And if you're going to lead the world, then there's a certain standard that you should live by. And the imam, you're right, he Democrat, Republican, extended, he looked at who had your best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Who was trying to do right for all of the people. Not 53%, not 47%, but 100% of the people, because when you become president of the United States, you're supposed to be for all the people, not just the rich people. Not just for
either.
For everybody. And even though it's not with my religious practices, but you have gay people in the country too.
Yes, sir.
And you have atheist people in the country too.
Absolutely.
And if you
talk about it, baby.
Of the United States, you are the president of everybody here.
That's right. I try to tell brothers and sisters that. Well, you know what? Obama didn't do anything for us. What you want him to do? He ain't the president of Detroit, the president of Harlem or Bed-Stuy. He's president of Newark. He's president of the United States. He got to look up everybody, not just the black man in the hood. But, you know, some of our people, unfortunately, just look at that mentality where we got to have an umbilical cord to the White House, and we're looking for a hookup. Them days are over. We can't get any more hookups. We got to get out there and, as they always said, lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Because the president, like Halim said, is the president of the United States. He ain't president over black folks.
And what he should have done, and what should have happened to people with correct thinking minds, is it should have raised your dignity level.
There you go.
Because as you said, that house that they called the White House, for the last 4 years, has been occupied by a black man. It was built by black people.
Yeah.
It was built by black people. And Allah has allowed us in our lifetime.
Which is heavy.
Occupied by a black man. And as Raouf said, that had a white mother and a black father.
Mm.
And how could they argue with that?
Mm.
You got the best of both worlds.
Heavy.
That's the best of both worlds right there.
Mm.
So
powerful.
We need to get off that little narrow-minded. You know, I was talking to Khaled today, and we were talking about the preacher that told his whole congregation, a black preacher, not to go out and vote. Because he didn't agree with some of the views that the president had. That's a very narrow-minded preacher.
Very narrow-minded, exactly. He's not looking at the whole total picture.
He's not looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
Or he's been bought off.
That's right. And you
got
a whole lot of money. That's another thing you got to do, which is a fact. There's a whole lot of money that has been thrown around to try to buy this election, because they know that they can't do it no other way.
Exactly.
You know, there was one state, and I believe it was Arizona, that was fighting to keep Obama off of the ballot.
Damn.
Is that right?
They were fighting to keep him off of the ballot in this state.
Hmm.
Well, I think things are going to be clear in a week or so when the debate starts. I always think that Romney is toast, but I just think that he's going to be burnt toast by the time the debates are over.
That's right, Kylie. Burnt toast. That's right, man. Like that Nisa Guzman burnt.
Who's the right person to be the leader of this country, you know?
Exactly.
So,
no, a leader got to be somebody
like
people
Barack
can.
Barack always said, "God bless America," he said. And see, God.
Mm-hmm. And they have, by giving them the leadership of a sincere man like we have. The man is sincere.
That's right. That's right. To give us men like Frederick Douglass.
Yeah,
like
man.
Men like
Noble
Drew
Ali.
Elijah Muhammad. To give us
yeah,
women
Marcus
like Harriet
Garvey.
Tubman. You know,
exactly.
Marcus Garvey. Martin Luther
mm-hmm.
King. To give
Matt
us
Turner.
Men like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and W.D. Muhammad.
And that was putting icing on the cake.
And now
exactly.
President Barack Hussein Obama.
Obama. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's so powerful about that, believers? The man got a powerful African name. You know, and that's another thing that kind of make people irate that don't understand. They say, why can his name be Barry? Because he's of African, his father's from Africa. He gave him an African name.
And he believed
because when I changed my name, my mother told me.
He could have easily changed it.
Of course.
He could have easily changed it.
Oh, yeah, like we changed ours. But my mother told me, she said, son, let me tell you something. At first, I didn't understand when you change your name. But when you change it, you know, that name really started growing on me. I said to myself, Oktob. I said, that's a powerful name, son. If I knew that name when you was a baby, I would have given you that name.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. So the beauty of it, man, is that they just don't know how. See, the worst thing that to deal with is a rational, a man who doesn't easily get emotional, highly ethical, highly moral leader. That's a hard man to deal with. You cannot push his button. They're doing everything, and the man still take the high road. He's not putting out any mud out there. He's not slinging. He's just telling the truth. Because you know why? When all is said and done, the truth will suffice.
When you do things with more than just yourself in mind, and a few people, God blesses that effort even more. When you're concerned about the majority of people, and you take on a job like that, and you're sincere, just like Imam Muhammad, when you're sincere with that, God
mm-hmm.
blesses you, and you just all kind of things just open up for you.
Yes, yeah. Send help. Unforeseen sources. I mean, all kind of unforeseen sources come to your aid that you never would expect. Because Allah looks out for the, He's concerned about the many, not the few, not the 1%, or the 40, or the 53%. Allah look out for the 100%.
Right. We have a few people.
Everybody
on the chat. And if you have something to say, just write it down. I'm here. I'm looking at it. I read it on the air. And if anybody's listening to us by the phone, if you want to participate on a conversation with a purpose, by all means, just press number one on your phone, and I'll bring you right on in. Alhamdulillah. And at the top of the hour, we'll have Muhammad Sadiq, and we'll speak of some other issues all about the challenges in our community, and how we want to advance our community, ourselves, and live that life of progress, you know, so many blessings, you know. And like someone said that when we're in that particular discipline, God will bless you so much with sending unseen help, the blessings
mm-hmm.
of protection, the gift of guidance, and so many other blessings.
You know, I was just looking at this thing on American economics, and
mm-hmm.
it's talking about the new residential construction, which now is up 2.3%. It talks
mm-hmm.
about the quarterly profits for retailers, which is $19.3 billion, which is up 3.5%. It talks about business inventories, which is $1,592 billion, which is up 0.8%. It talks about advanced monthly retail sales, which is $406.7 billion, which is up 0.9%. It talks about monthly wholesale inventories, which is $485.2 billion, which is up 0.7%. Now, all these things, all these different things were negative things. It talks about manufactured goods in the United States, which is $478.6 billion, which is up 0.2.8%. Now, you see, all these indicators, it's showing where things is going up. It talks about the gross domestic product, which is $15,606.1 billion, up 1.7%. So all these indicators are going up that were one time going down. Tell me this ain't divine intervention, and tell me that they need to switch courses. That's a bunch of garbage. You need to keep with the course you got and reelect this president.
Exactly.
Don't let them fool you with the talk about the economy. That's a trick.
That's all. It's a smokescreen.
All you got to do is study the quarterly report on American economics, and you will see the same thing that I just said.
Oh, what's so powerful to follow what you're saying, Haleem, is that, you know, we came with this jobs bill whereby, you know, our infrastructure, which is in dire need of repair, because, you know, we got highways and bridges that are falling apart. Now, every president was approved for this jobs bill for the infrastructure, but when he went to Congress, shot him down with a no, because they're not going to help him look good. And if he improves the economy, that would help him to look good, and they want to do everything to make him look bad. But they want to hop on the economy, but these are the same people that won't release the funds so he can open up federal and government jobs to get people more jobs. They won't do it because their plan is, and we know their plan is going to fail because we know who the best of planners will be. Their plan is do everything you can to make this man look horrible so he's a one-term president.
But once he gets reelected, then they're not going to have any other choice. And as a matter of fact, not only will he get elected, but hopefully Congress will change.
We would still go for that. If they want a hard copy of that, we can mail it to them and charge them, or they can come in and get it during an appointment. That's just that me as a being business savvy. That's my recommendation.
Where was that?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Where it came from, and that was some input.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just want to do everything to tarnish his image, to give the people a bit of taste, but it's doing just the opposite. People are seeing through this smokescreen, you know, that they're trying to portray the president, you know, that he's not for America, and, you know, they know better than that. The man's doing everything he can, but unfortunately, whenever he goes to the Congress for approval for something that would stimulate the economy, it's always
wrong. I know. Barbara's right. Well, you know, it's very interesting that I read a story, and I hope you did too, about the Federal Reserve pumping $40 billion a month to help out the economy too. Did anybody hear that one or read that one? For the next 2 months.
No, I didn't hear the numbers, but I know that they pumped. I don't remember the numbers, but I remember reading about or hearing that they pumped this money in to stimulate the economy.
Right. I would say, man, what kind of this country got money, you know? Don't throw it to, you know, blew the story.
Now Raul, the Federal Reserve is a private organization, right?
Yeah,
it's not an actual branch of the government. It's a private organization.
I think you got it right somehow. I don't know where Brother Ruth is at. His mouth is open, but I had to look it up to bring you real clarity about the role, because I'm pretty sure the president has a say of who heads the Federal Reserve, and it has to go through some approval from governmental authority.
Exactly.
So it's not free to do as it wants, please, you know. But just have
We don't have a dictatorship. Like, you know, we had a dictatorship. One man ruled, and he said, look, this is what I'm going to do, case closed.
No, but, like, you have the World Bank, and that's certain organizations that run that. And I'm just trying to see. I have to research that because I'm not sure yet, so I don't really want to speak on that until I know. But I'm gonna research that because I heard some things about it being a private concern, and I'm curious about it.
Yeah, I am too. You piqued my curiosity, but I'm also curious about that $40 billion figure. You know, and I said, wow, you know.
Like I've said, see, they blocked the jobs bills that he did. They held everything that he tried to do with dealing with the infrastructure. They blocked that in Congress, and they wouldn't let people send the bills out, and they won't approve it. They just hold it on their desk until it's lame duck session. Then when they go in the lame duck session, they're trying to wait till after the election. But after the election, they're going to have to act one way or the other because the people see what they're doing.
No, he gave her $100 about a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, that's right. He's doing business. But if ever since the Supreme Court ruled that corporations can donate to campaigns and extreme amount of money, I knew the game was on to get Obama out, you know. To use any means and necessary the methods to make sure that you don't have enough money, we have more money than he has to campaign. Anything to solve the situation, to solve problems in the country. If it's up to us, we ain't going to work with them, you know. All that. And it's a shame. It's a damn shame. They're not even true to being responsible statesmen to make sure the country runs smoothly just because they don't like the president occupied of the White House, you know? So it's a desperate game. It's a false game. And I think it's going to be proven by debates, and I think it's going to be proven by the outcome of the election, too. And we'll see.
That's
this
right. But the follow-up of what Halim was saying, Khalid, everybody got to get out and vote. Don't be mesmerized by the polls.
Right.
Still go out and vote.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So we're still waiting on Muhammad Sadiq. And while we're waiting on him, let me tell you that tomorrow at Locked and Loaded.
All right, listen, we'll take a look at it. I'm trying to finish up a radio program that I'm on, and
I'm gonna cut out his mic for a minute.
Internet radio.
We'll
talk tomorrow.
I think we might have Muhammad Sadiq with us right now. I'm up with his mic, and welcome him.
Salad and guests. And host and brothers.
My brother, how you doing?
Fine, brother. How you doing?
Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad Sadiq. How's the believer?
Well, the believer's trying to make it in the land of plenty.
Alhamdulillah.
That's from Imam Waters Sadiq Muhammad. Nothing original here, buddy.
Well, that's what most of what we got come from, you know?
That's it.
That's beauty of this. We all have become Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Right.
So where did I leave off at? Where did you leave off at? How can I help in this beautiful gathering here?
Well, you already helped by calling in and being a on the program. I just want to share a couple things that's happening on the station at WDM for the week tonight. As you know, you're on a conversation with a purpose. On Thursday, we're going to bring you a lecture with Imam W.D. Muhammad. And I've been having a hard choice to decide which one should I play tomorrow. And I know one is called the FOI meeting back in 1975 or February. I want to play that real
quick. Yeah,
bad.
I remember that one.
I advise that. It's your call, but that
yeah.
one... That one might open up some wounds, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we want to. It's your call. With me, I'm wide open. I could go with it, but I wouldn't want to hurt nobody's feelings because there's a lot of things on there. Minister Farcon's on there, and a lot of people on there, and saying a lot of things today that yesterday wouldn't be saying today. So unless we are ready for that. Type of thing, and I mean, it might be misunderstood as to why you played it, you know.
Right. Well, I it was between that and another lecture that's titled Celebrating Life, and I'm leaning towards hold off the FOI to next week, really, because I want to ease people into saying this is 1975, remember, it's Nation of Islam, we had the FOI, you know, we had that type of excitement in the brothers when the ministers, you know, we had ministers too, you know. It was a different type of thing at that time. And even that was introducing us to universal Islam, and the way he did it was so beautiful, you know. It really was. And the real love that we had for one another, which left, but inshallah is coming back. That's how I want to kind of introduce the FOI meeting.
Well,
right,
I
like
sat
that.
There. I was, in fact, I was the only one who had that tape.
Is that right?
No one else had that tape. I had that tape solitary alone. And I had it once alone. Minister Farcon instructed me after Brother Wallace, as we call Minister Wallace, finished, to get the tape, transcribe the tape, and let's sit down and discuss the tape. And we did. And I mean, what's really, the tape is one thing, but what transpired after the tape and the history that goes with all the different fallouts that came as a result of the tape, that's where the real wisdom is and the information is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it
was
so much.
Well, yeah.
Times
changed. The times evolved and things happened. Some good, some bad, some regretful, some not regretful, but some things had to be done too. So, but still, it happened, and I want to play it, but I don't think I'll play it tomorrow. I think I want to play Celebrating Life tomorrow. So you look forward to that on Station IWDM. And Celebrating Life is like, it's a 42 minute tape. Whereas the FOI is a long one. It's be a 2-hour program. So I wanted to let you know about that. That's what's happening on Thursday. Sunday, we have Political Awareness. We had a really good program with some little fireworks last Sunday. But, you know, to me, it's like those two knives are sharpening each other. You can sharpen, you can disagree, you know? But hopefully we come to an agreement. But most of the program is about getting out the vote and the coalition of the government. We have two representatives from there, and they are articulate brothers, and they had their points about the what they're about in that particular group, the American Coalition of Good Government. And so we have them next Sunday, inshallah. And we hope you tune in to that. Now, Monday, we have a new show all together. It's a husband and wife team from Atlanta, Georgia. Sister Layla, Kadira, Yemeni, and her husband, Abu, Jamie.
Where's the feedback coming from?
I don't know.
Or am I the only one getting feedback? I'm. It's coming in real distorted.
I'm getting
it clear.
I'm all right, I'm clear. Barry, Monday with Layla and Hakeem. Tuesday with Imam Sadiq Jihad with the Language Revolution. And Wednesday with a conversation with Barry. We're growing, we're developing, and I think we put on some fine programming, not only for our community, but for the whole world, for people in general, with truth, justice, and all that, you know, righteousness, and we want to clean ourselves up, clean up the whole world, and shine. And I got to tell you about this little text message I read. And it comes from Imam Muhammad, and we talk about Bilal ibn Rabah. We talk about how, you know, Bilal was ordered by the Prophet to climb up to the Kaaba when they conquered, and you know, quote unquote conquered Mecca, and went back to Mecca. And he said the Adhan atop of the Kaaba, called a prayer. The Muslim called a prayer. And Imam broke down the meaning of that and how that's exactly what we're doing, or Muslims are doing here in America, African-American Muslims. Let me read it real quick and get to it first. But, okay, hold on. So Bilal's climbing up to the top, and it's like if you look at the top, it's like a light tower or the minaret, you know, where the callers or faith go. See, human beings go up to the light tower, not hiding anything, and they say to the public, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. The people are to have cultivation in their lives. Hayala Salah, come and cultivate the spiritual life. Hayala Falah, come and cultivate the social life, the community life. Build up the spiritual life, build up the community life. Speaking this in the open, a living testimony and a fulfillment of the written scripture that says they will not hide their light, where they will go up on top of the house. This is a religion of social justice. This is a religion of true liberation. This religion liberates their mind, brings justice back to the oppressed, kills inequality. You can't practice inequality and be a Muslim. This is a religion for us and for all people. Once we realize it, we will become missionaries, all of us. Even if you have 40 hours a week jobs, that's no excuse. You can still take some of that time and become missionaries for Al-Islam. And the man goes into a dua. He says, Allah is the perfect being. Allah is all righteous, truthful, no imperfections in Allah. Allah is supreme and perfect. Without any imperfections, O Allah, make us of those who purify ourselves and those who repent and guide us in your path. Amen. Would you believe the year he said this was in 1979? It was in the Brilliant News under the article titled The Reconciliation. Isn't that powerful?
You're still coming in and out with me.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. You can't control the technology, but I'm just simply saying what's going on.
I hear you. Well, you heard what I said, what E-Man said in 1979, in terms of Bilal going up to the top, and how he's out in the open, and he's claiming that Allah is the greatest. The mission is to have us the social liberating people, you know, justice being done in and around us, you know.
Okay.
So I read that a few days ago, and I wanted to read on air. share it with people, and shall I share it on a social website that's titled We Are With Imam. And you Google it, We Are With Imam, We Are With The Imam, or We Are With Imam W.D. Muhammad. We have a social network that's on the Ning Social Networks, and it's at www.wearewiththeimam.ning.com. We have a Yahoo group that's titled We Are With Imam W.D. Muhammad. We have a Facebook group titled We Are With Imam W.D. Muhammad. And you all are invited to join and participate and contribute to the discussion and to the strategies to have a very, very enlightened and productive and prosperous society. You know, and we must know we don't have to have,
you know, all whole nine of us. You know, Khaled, listening to that, what you just read, man, it just makes me just realize, you know, just think about even more how Imam Muhammad was just a blessing and a mercy to us, to all of us.
Every day.
The insights that he shared with us was enough to really remake the world if you take
no doubt
put it in actual practice, you know. But it has to come, it has to come out of just the talk stage and to bring it into actually being a part of your life where you actually practicing it and people seeing you as a living example, personification of what Imam Muhammad taught us. And I mean, it's just so profound. All the information that he shed on us in those years, and it seemed like 1975 was just yesterday.
That's right.
It seemed like just yesterday. I can remember flying to Chicago. It seemed like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and here we are. Here we are today, with all this knowledge and wisdom that he shared, and it's being put all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's in book. I mean, every day I go to email and I got either 10 or 12 different quotes from Imam Muhammad. Keeping that, keeping his vision and the things that he stood for alive, because it impacted the lives of so many, not only African Americans, not only Americans, but people throughout this whole world. Was impacted in different countries by the things that Imam Muhammad did.
Right.
And it's just a blessing to be able to be alive in this day and time and to have experience and to witness that and to be a witness bearer.
Exactly.
To that great proof that he bestowed upon us.
But don't forget, we have a test, brother. My brother Halim, and I told you, and as we were speaking earlier today, I was telling you about how the man told us a story about how he had been incarcerated for 15 months.
Yes.
He was following orders and not going along with being drafted into the military service. And so he had a court date and judge sent him to prison, you know, and how after 15 months, a little bit over a year, he was free, and he went back to the Nation of Islam. It was a changed Nation of Islam within that short period of time, where people were wearing long fur coats and wearing diamond pinky rings, and it was a change, you know, because the Imam Elijah Muhammad, he wanted to do business. And he felt that he had to bring in business people, but they weren't of a strong, God-fearing base or foundation amongst them. So a lot of things happened, but it amazed me in reading the story, how it was a great big change to happen over that short period of time where greedy people came in, people want to put on games, play games, you know. And to be honest with you, we still got our monsters right now, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Email CD.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear that about when the man went to prison, how things changed during the time that the businesses kind of went bad, and the nation ran out of money, or how, Dallas was told that, hey, there's a lot of trouble, you know, we were in trouble. Do you remember that time?
He said when he was released from prison, they sent Herbert and I think Captain Sharif and them to the prison to pick him up.
Right.
And when they picked him up, they were sharing with him that there's big problems in the community and how the atmosphere in the society had become very corrupt, like the, you know, big, like you said, the big furs, the diamonds, the chains, and all the stuff that was going on based on Melvin Band people's influence into the minds of many of our people, you know. And yes, this is what he was told when he was being released, as he was released and coming home. I remember him saying that, yes.
Yeah. It just struck me how people, that's the test on us, you know. The whole firm that Allah gives us, you know. And to be true, have that faith. Sometimes you can't see certain things, but you know, you can feel when something's wrong, and not to go along with it. You know.
Yes, sir.
In that regard, but we've been tricked, you know, in that regard. And some real criminals, you know, I come from Philadelphia, and right now there's a imam who had to go to jail because he was corrupt. I mean, he was a criminal. He's going to be dealing with drug dealers, dealing with gangs, stealing from the people, lying. And he was set to federal prison for 7 years. I think he got one more year to go. He'll be back out. He'll be old man. He'll be broke. And, you know, he's been punished, but he got a chance to redeem himself. And the last visit that the man made to Philadelphia was to a Juma. And he did a Juma at that particular mosque of his name was Shamsuddin Ali. And he said that Shamsuddin Ali was still a brother to him, you know, and hoped that he can recover from his setback. I mean, it was so amazing to me that he didn't come at Shamsuddin Ali like with tiger teeth, but came with a compassionate heart and understanding. And that's what we need amongst us, you know. But not to go for the okie doke either, you know, at the same time. It was an amazing moment.
Imam is one in a trillion, one in 76 trillion times a trillion.
Yeah, we all have the human makeup, you know. But we got to do the job of disciplining ourselves and putting ourselves in a position where we get those blessings, you know. There's our promises, damn. And we can do it.
We can definitely do it. Or, you know, but you have to constantly be reconstructing yourself and your mentality, because a lot of us still have a bunch of hang-ups from slavery that was passed down to us from generation to generation. And if you're not constantly working on yourself, then you're carrying that mentality with you, and you don't even realize it. You know, you have to really be working on changing your psychic. That's why the imam, I mean, when he first started teaching us, he went and got he said we needed a psychiatrist. He went and got a psychiatrist. Because he knew that something was wrong with our mind, and it had to be dealt with, you know. And like you said early on, I mean, he said he came to his father not looking for men, but looking for empty vessels to put men into.
That says a lot.
That means that you got to empty out that vessel in order to build something new in that body. And we are capable of doing that because we have the tools. He gave us the tools to work with. He gave us the Quran. He introduced us to the true life of Prophet Muhammad, and then he lived the example of Prophet Muhammad while he was here.
Yes, you did.
So all we got to do is take that and we'll be all right. But you have to be working on yourself to improve yourself and to grow.
So, Muhammad Sadiq, I want to speak about what's happening with the mosque cares in a few minutes, but I want to bring in Helene to talk about the Muslim American Chamber of Society, a little bit of updates there, the fascinating movement of securing economic dignity for us, and we want to go and spread everywhere we can with the righteous people, sober-minded, intelligent, God-fearing people, you know. So, Helene, can you introduce what's happening with the Muslim American Society? Give us an update on that, please.
Yes, the Muslim American Chamber of Commerce. As you know, we now have a website up, and it's open for membership. And we just was blessed to have a bank in the New Jersey area join the Chamber of Commerce. And they informed me that they have monies available for small business ventures and bigger business ventures, and they will walk you through the process of getting this these loans to help start or enhance your business. So, you know, that to me, as a matter of fact, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity and work with them in getting more inventory for my business. So it's important that we come together. Go on the website, look at the website, join the Chamber of Commerce, because it only works when we work and when we come together and we share ideas on how to improve our businesses and our role in society, because we all have a role to play.
Yes, you do.
If we're going to remake the world, we all got a role to play.
Did I say Muslim American Society? Did I say that?
Back yes, you did.
I don't know what happened to me. Muslim American Chamber of Commerce is growing. It's happening. I believe God has blessed us, and it bless you. Once you join, you'll see what's happening, and we'll grow and develop. And amazing things will happen. Amazing. God willing. So, and I want, we're not going to leave it. We're going to keep you informed. We'll keep talking about it. Give us that website, brother.
It's the Muslim American Chamber of Comm, COMM, .org.
All right.
Muslim American Chamber of Comm, .org. And you can go on there, and we have different updates dealing with the Small Business Administration and different programs to procure different business ventures that they have. A lot of free programs that they have that you can participate in.
Yes. All right. Well, Muslim American Chamber of Commerce will be on our lips, minds, and talk every Wednesday on 69WGM, but also it will be on the website, our social network, wearewiththeimam.name.com, so you can catch up updates there too, along with the website. And if you join the social network, you'll get memos about our program with the website on as a part of his contest. And I also want to bring up that a New Africa Halal farm outside of Atlanta with our brother Shakir, that is another big opportunity for us as community and for individuals who want to work, to contact Fareed, get down Atlanta, work that farm. And Fareed told me that you shouldn't mention the word work because people shy away from it. But I don't believe that. You know, I don't wholly believe it. But don't be afraid of the word work. Don't be afraid of the environment. It's a wonderful environment. Horses, cows, donkeys, but they're growing meat down there. It's a meat production type thing where you could learn a trade and different trades of landscaping, farming, animal husbandry, the halal slaughtering, of meat packaging, distributing, all that, you know. It's a big job, and it's a place for you down here, right, in the halal farms. So more on that a little bit later. But my brother, Muhammad Sadiq, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
All right.
I mean loud. I don't know about clear.
But anyway, I will tell you, I had a good time with you this past Sunday. You're part of the panel discussion on our political awareness program every Sunday. And there was a little bit of fireworks there where some people didn't think that it was your place to bring up the subject that we have dear to heart in terms of our community. And I think that they didn't understand how you were saying there's a problem of us going overseas and discussing other people's problems, but we're not facing problems in our own backyard. And that was just what you were saying, you know? But I understand, I totally understand what our brothers were saying from the coalition, the government was saying this how they were on the first they were invited to talk about get out of the bullet. But, you know,
Let's say something, Brother Khaled.
Go ahead.
I've written Brother Marvin a letter. I haven't sent it yet. I'm going to send it. But, you know, I'm not trying to put him down or no one down. First of all, I had great respect for Brother Marvin. That's why I didn't want to even get into an argumentative kind of, even when I saw it condescending, I tried to keep it in at least in a respectful mode. But what blew my mind, and see, you know, you don't like to point out people, you know, who people don't have an understanding. You want to respect people, and you think that they have a certain intellect that maybe they don't have. And my position and what I'm saying is, it is clear they don't know what a panel discussion is. You know, because if they knew what a panel discussion is, they would not have gone that way. And you made it crystal clear from the beginning. You told them you had a nine. You said that you wanted this to be something like the Capital Gang, and you asked them, are you familiar with the Capital Gang? I remember the Capital Gang. I thought everyone knew the Capital, but that's not even an issue where you don't know what the Capital Gang was. But the point is, I said, well, maybe I'm crazy. So I went online, and I looked up and looked at the various definitions, and basically they said this about what a panel discussion is, and this is brief. A panel discussion is designed to provide an opportunity for a group to hear several people knowledgeable about a specific issue or topic, for them to present information and discuss personal views. A panel discussion may help the audience further clarify and evaluate their positions regarding specific issues or topics being discussed and increase their understanding of the position of others. So they don't understand what a panel discussion is, or they've never read the invitation that you sent around, which clearly said we were all in a panel discussion. They wanted to hold a panel discussion like you hold a talk on how to get out the vote. Now, if you would have said, Brother Sadiq and Brother Marvin and all you invited to come on the program, we're going to talk about how to get out the vote, and you would have never used the term panel discussion, then they're legitimately right. They're 100% right, and I'd be 100% wrong, and I'd have to back up, apologize, and say, hey, they're right, this is not the format. But in a panel discussion, I'm entitled to say water is dusty and sandy. They don't have any defense against that. The only defense they have is to present a superior point or to question me to the point that I lose logic in my explanation. But you cannot make a person on the panel conform to what you want, no matter how much you disagree with him. And if you look right now in our society, there's a big discussion going on evolution versus creationism. And they're on two opposite ends of the spectrum. And they vehemently disagree. But you cannot tell that person that, no, the beginning of everything came when God said this. And I said, no. It did when you, each person, by virtue of the definition of a panel discussion, he is entitled to express his opinion. This is where opinions come in. This is what a panel discussion is about. He's entitled to express his opinion as to what he thinks is the answer, and your only defense against it is you present a superior argument against his, or you question him to the point that he is defeated by his inability to respond intelligently to the question. But when you try to shut him down and you try to make him conform to yours and you want to put him down because he's not doing it your way, that's saying one thing. You're either mean and evil, which I don't think that was the case with these people. You just did not have the intellect to understand what a panel discussion is. That's all to it. Because if they go back and read and look at what a panel discussion is, if they're really Muslims and men of honor and principle, they have to come back and say, we were wrong. We were wrong. We were wrong not that Muhammad Sadiq didn't step on our toes and go against what we thought he shouldn't do, but we were wrong because in a panel discussion, that is fair. That's what a panel discussion is all about. Now, if they wanted to just come on board and we're going to sit there and outline, it's a bunch of guys coming together just to talk about getting out the vote. That's another ball game altogether. Okay, I yield.
All right, thank you, brother. Well, anyway, you my brothers, and you do it to me, and they probably don't know. There's a lot of unawareness, a lot of knowing. Exactly where you come from, but I think that we can always be gentlemen. I think we could be disciplined and brothers to each other, and I think you certainly were in that particular exchange. I didn't let them know that I didn't announce you're going to be on the program tonight, and I think it's best that we would discuss concerns we have concerning Wallace, concerning the Miles Carriers and Khadijah. We would bring up on this particular program a conversation with the purpose. And you know, that particular program on Sunday, we only got six more programs to go till election time. And you're invited to be on there. But let's
I think they should have, I'm just going to request that you do one thing. Take the term panel discussion off, keep it just as you have it, and anybody can call in, but they're restricted, me and anybody else who comes on.
I don't like to restrict anybody. I like to people be free and on their own volition speak up their own minds. And I've been trying to do that for the last 12 years on the Yahoo group, you know, for people
right.
to participate and feel free, you know. And except for the crazies, of course. You guys are crazy people, you know. But you're crazy. One of another, we love you. We might disagree. But let's see if we can work out a resolution somehow, you know?
But see, they have to understand this. I'm not, you know, what shocked me is, I say like the Quran said, why didn't you think better of me? I talked to Marvin on radio, on conference calls, on, Blog Talk Radio and everything. I had never crossed the line and brought this subject up. Why? Because it wasn't proper. There wasn't a forum for that. But this was a... He said, it's a panel discussion. And if he goes back and reads, and he's a highly intelligent brother, at least I believe so, he goes back and reads, he's going to realize that the rules for a panel discussion, regardless of what he may have in his mind,
once you consent to be a part of a panel discussion, you know, don't get confused, like they say, don't get confused and go to a gunfight with a knife. You know, when you know what you're going being invited to do, make sure you come there in the proper frame of mind, knowing what you're going to participate in. And I'm saying, like, your program, if you got so many weeks to get this vote out, I'm in total agreement with it. I don't think there's any room to discuss anything else but get that out. But when you open it up and say, hey, we're having a panel discussion, and we want to know look, you made it so clear that you couldn't miss it. You say you want to see the show geared towards what is impacting us and how we can develop, with the reference being the Quran and the Sunnah. I said, my God, this is perfect. Now, you said this, and yeah, they sitting right there listening. And sure, I'm saying, well, say, I want to know how many who lives in the project and can't read and write and don't know how to spell their name and don't know where the poll places are. You weren't talking about that kind of logistic. You were talking about philosophical concerns that stood behind and was keeping the minds of people from participating in full citizenship in our government. And that's what I was going after. What's holding them back? I mean, we're not just interested in getting people to march like cattle. All right, get on board. Hook, 2, 3, 4, down the road. We weren't interested in that. We're trying to get people to become cognizant, become aware, to become sensitive, and know this is our responsibility. And they're operating not because we lined them up and marched them down to the polls, but because certain kinds of things that they have been believing and thinking and being prejudiced against or thinking they've been biased against have been moved out of their mind, and they're capable now of moving without these obstacles.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, you know, a lot blessed to you, my brother, with a great mind and the ability to deliver too. You know, you can communicate, and that passion you have, and discipline you have, the experience you had in the Nation of Islam, and being around the Imam, and all that's just it's gold to me. It's all gold. And so I listen to what you're saying and amazed, you know. And you know, man, you're a victim of cancer, and you're such a strong soldier, really. So
look, my biggest hope, Brother Khaled, is this. You know, I listen to some of these people. I don't need it. Like I could get in a box and just stick a periscope up, like a microscope, and just share what I have. You don't have to see my face. You don't have to know where it's coming from or who's saying it. There's just so many gems have been put.
Yeah.
I've been put in charge of and been given a blessing, just like you brought up this tape that took place at the FY. If you, the tape is one thing. There's a total history behind the tape. And I mean, and I'm saying, why was I the one told, go get the tape, transcribe the tape, and everything to move forward from? I mean, you'd be shocked to know all that went on as a result of that tape. I had my first life as a result of that tape. It wasn't a tape, it was a live reality. I had my first nightmare. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I drove my fist through the dresser drawer. My wife said, what is going on here? You know?
Yeah.
I had my first nightmare. I never had a nightmare before. But I'm saying, all I'm saying that to say is I have been blessed. I'm a little brother. I've never aspired to be anything but a everyday soldier in the community. I'm not chasing after fame. I'm not chasing after high profile. I'm not chasing after money. But Allah keeps blessing me. People keep helping me. Money keeps coming to me. Strange ways. It would blow your mind if I could tell you some of the things that have happened. But it just shows you the power of Allah. Allah is never absent. And all I wanted, my only hope is to share what I've been blessed to have. Imam Muhammad, I'm a little brother. The last 4 years of his life, the only person that walked closer to him than me was his wife, and Rafa, and then even in that context, they didn't walk in the same. He related to us all differently.
He related to his wife as a wife. He related to Rafa as a business partner and other things, many other things. But he related to me in a way as a brother and a friend who I loved. He loved me dearly, and I loved him dearly. And he expressed that over and over. I mean, it was just a beautiful thing. And so what do I want to do? I want to stand up, yeah, and then when the E-Man told me, and the E-Man told me, and the E-Man told me. No, I just want to share the gems without even getting the first person singular in there, you know?
You know, hey, I like you do a wonderful job, brother. And,
I try.
You know,
I want. I
you want. Know, I come back when the father passed away and how Umar, he loves him so much that he would, he doesn't promise so much that he couldn't stand hearing that news. He took out his sword and said, everybody said the prophet died, I'm gonna cut his head off, you know? And it took Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with them both, to say, Umar, shut up, you know? And he quotes the Quran and says, if anybody worship the prophet, let another prophet pass away. Everybody worship Allah, Allah never dies, you know.
Wow.
So we had that people. We had people in our community, just like they did back then, who really forgot about the religion, didn't to don't know religion, you know, and they really claimed this love for the Imam, but don't be right in the actions of being fair and just and or even competent in the abilities to make the community advance the way it should advance and be on social justice, you know? They'd be rude and I'm talking about Wallace right now. They lie. I'm talking about Layla right now. I'm talking about Lee Man had two wives, you know? And forget. And I'm talking about the community right now in terms of knowing how to handle a passive leader and have faith in Allah, that Allah is still here with us and still guiding us to be a better person, a better society, you know?
Yes, sir.
So we have to deal with this. We have to deal with the people in our community who still suffer the slave plantation experience.
Yes, sir.
We're still scared. You talk about the missteps of a mosque and the missteps of certain people. And it seems like you talk to people and they have a gun. It seems like they think they have a gun to the head if they even want to think about it. You know, it cracks me up. But it's a real serious issue that blocks our progress if we don't deal with it, you know? So I'm pledging myself and telling everybody
but,
I can. Go ahead. Who's that? Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Like we were talking earlier, man, and, you know, if you say that you follow what the Imam taught and you really understood it and know that it was based on truth, then how can you not what's going on and not understand what's going on and not stand up for what is right after having a leader like Imam Muhammad? You have to, you can't close your eyes or act like you got blinders on and you can't see what's going on because you see it. So when we talk about President Obama and we talk about Michelle Obama, we respect Michelle Obama as the leader of the free world of America, as the wife of the leader. Now, for those of us that see Imam Muhammad as our leader and truly understand that, how can you not see his wife as being the wife of the leader when he told you that? How can you not respect that?
And it's your the national convention, he spoke about it. But, you know, people mishear a lot of things. in the National Convention in 2008, Imam Muhammad was telling a story about how he was a very serious student that stays up all night studying, you know? And he was married to Shirley at the time. And he said that Shirley would go upstairs, go to bed, she'd come back down, and she'll see me right at it, you know, right at the table, you know? And he told that story, and people were saying that, ooh, you may have got back with Shirley. And I would say, hey, you know, I would say, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with your mind? Are you water brain or something? Got water on your brain, you know? I don't know if you heard it. I heard it many times. And I said, he told that story many, many times. But how did they get in their mind that he said he was back with Shirley? I don't know. You know, it's pretty ridiculous to me. But he was just telling a story about how the main point of his being a very, very dedicated and devoted student that would study all night, you know. So some of my people are crazy. That's why I thought you're crazy when makeup fans, you know.
But you know what, Brother Colin? Let me explain the beauty in what's going on today. And this is what my appeal is. I mean, I'm like, you know, it's almost like, and I don't like to use myself in the terms of scripture, but I have to use this. The people who felt compelled to speak out on behalf of what the prophet had said or what Allah had revealed were like warners, trying to help people avoid certain pitfalls that life was going to offer. And basically, this is like a warner. This is like the Holy Quran has a verse called "Those sent forth," where it's dealing with the people sorting out of the people in the community. And it's almost like they can't hear, but that's okay, because the only job of the people who are going to carry out the will of Allah and the work of the prophet are those who do hear. That they're the only ones who will do it. But this is the justice of it from Allah, that no matter if you get up on their ear and yell it to them, do this, and just like the brother said, I'm not a witness to that. Okay, well, fine. Now he is given his position. I'm not a witness to that. But he cannot say someone did not call him to a position that would be a safety zone for him, a position that he knows.
Yeah, I was telling him, man. You know, come on, bite him. You know, we don't want like to be bit. You know,
it's a test. And so what I'm saying is, I'm trying to get everyone to pass the test. I want to see the emails pass the test. I want to see the community pass the test. But everyone ain't gonna pass the test. Everyone not gonna pass the test. Everyone is almost like when Moses went up on the mountain. And he wasn't gone 10 minutes in the party, and they'd already start gathering the firewood so that they could melt the golden, all the gold that they had bought back, all the stuff that they had bought in from Egypt, all the old ideas, you know, and they were ready to make this golden calf. And, you know, and I mean, and somehow, we hear you, man, say this, but we don't see its practical application in our reality today. And it's like, he hasn't been gone 4 years, you know, and here we are. We got the fire blazing and the camp is all but ready, you know. And I'm trying to say, brothers, sisters, that's not what the Imam called us to. And we got to stand up. We got to start off not building, taking tidbits from Egypt or taking parts from the world and mixing it in. And like one brother told me, you know, in a subtle, man, leave the Imam's business alone, man. You don't expose the Imam. In other words, like, you know the Imam's willing and dealing. Don't blow his thing, man. Like, let him do his. I'm saying, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Allah is the protector of the Imam. Allah is the protector of the Imam. I don't have to sit up there. Imam put, he told his marital status to the world. I'm just calling them to what he told them. And so, but the brother in our phone, I'm not going to mention his name because if they know, if they heard the program, good. If they didn't, fine. But the brother, he said, it's a personal thing. It's not a personal thing. And if you would have just listened, certainly I have a personal part in this.
But the biggest part is not my personal part. The biggest part is what we share in collectively, the one who woke us up, pulled us out of the grave, gave us a direction to take our lives and our families in. This is the one I'm saying, can we stand there? Can we stand there and allow this? I'm looking at, and I'm going to say this, I know we don't have that much time. I'm looking at all of the stuff going on. We got down in Atlanta, Georgia. They have books. They're studying from books and teaching our children from books written by Bilal Phillips. Who is Bilal Phillips? He's a big enemy to Imam Worthy Muhammad. His whole life, he spent nothing but his life trying to make Imam Worthy Muhammad's life miserable and condemning him for everything he's worth. Okay? And we don't have enough sense to say, well, okay, he may be a good writer, but he certainly, there's enough writers out here and enough scholars out here that we don't need to take someone who has openly condemned and put our leader down to make him somebody we're going to use his books in our community. In our
Wait, who are you talking about on our
shows. They talk about on the show. But Al Phillips is an enemy to this community. Siraj was my brother. I love Siraj. But Siraj messed up and Siraj won't.
Okay.
And we give Siraj a platform. And it goes on and on and on. And all I'm saying is we have got to stand for something. And we don't have to, and like one brother told me, yeah, man, I never did like Siraj, I never did like the nigga. I always like Siraj. Mm-hmm. I always, and even today, like him. That's how he was. He's a warm brother. He's just not a wise brother. He's weak when it comes to standing up on the truth because he got them, mm-hmm. them immigrants got him jacked up in the air, and he's afraid to cross them. But crossing them means stand up and tell the truth that'll hurt their feelings. So all I'm saying to you, and I'm saying this community, little by little, if we keep compromising at this point, it won't take anything to put this community in three or four or five different little camps going in all kinds of different directions. And I'm saying, I'm not like one, but you want to be the leader. Yeah, let's be real, man. Look, I'm old as the E-man was when he passed right now, okay? 75 years old, man. I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm not worried about it.
Bob, it's wonderful. I'm listening to everything. I would like to take some time with people to think about what you're saying, to ask you questions so you can clarify. And let's pick this up next week, next Wednesday on Conversation with Purpose. We've got 2 more minutes left on the program.
Yes, sir.
And I think this is the best way to go. I'm really, really sorry to cut you off right now.
Oh, that's okay. If you don't cut me off, I'll be going all the way up to 11 tonight, you know.
Wait, don't watch it. I can hear you up to 11 o'clock tomorrow morning and really be learning something here. We need to know because a lot of people just don't know what's going on, what's the real deal behind the scenes from the covers these people put you on to, you know. They'll throw a blanket over your face. And, you know, I like to say you and they try to tell you it's raining, you know. But, alhamdulillah. Well, thank you, my brother, Akhtar.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy, Khaled. And I only caught one voice. That was Brother Halim. Who was the other brother that was on?
I'm your Hajj brother. Brother Akhtab.
Always
tell everybody, right. Beautiful believer.
Hey, okay, I just didn't know who it was. Okay, Brother Akhtab. Allah Wegbar.
So, once again, I'll tell you, 2 hours passed so fast. I think it was a fascinating 2 hours we spent together. I loved it, and I thank Allah for it. And I pray that you'll be able to join us next week. And listeners, press that number one. Right on the chat, and then the program is called A Conversation with a Purpose. Thank you very much. God's peace be with you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
I believe him.